we're starting a new series today, and you know, I didn't get fancy with the title, Believer's Authority. And as I said the last couple of weeks, well, Rocky, there are two or three books in the back called Believer's Authority, The Believer's Authority, Should Have Believer's Authority, Do Have Believer's Authority. I mean, you know, there's all kinds of books with that title. Well, that's great, but this is a new series for us, and we're just calling it Believer's Authority. And the title of today's message is The Purpose of Our Authority. This is part one of this series. So from the beginning of creation to the ministry of Jesus and throughout the church age, there is no message more revolutionary, life-changing, or misunderstood than the believer's authority on the earth. Yet many believers are totally ignorant of the amazing authority that God has given them. Most believe that they are just helpless little Christians struggling through life's hardships and just trying to get by. And with the philosophy of God is in control and whatever will be, will be. And they don't think that there's anything that they can do about their situation. And perhaps you're among the countless, not you in this room because you know better, but there's lots of people that watch this that don't have any clue. And perhaps you're one of the countless number of Christians who have adopted this erroneous worldview. Instead of recognizing your rights as a believer, you have embraced predestination, which we believe in, but from a totally different way, predestination and fatalism, assuming, you know, most of that you just accept the circumstances as God's will for your life. Well, you know, it must be God's will that I'm going through this. And if that dismal mindset is not working very well for you, then I'm telling you, this sermon series right here is going to be exactly what you need. Because John 8:32 tells us this, you will know the truth, and what will the truth do? The truth will set you free. And God's truth and the revelation that comes from it will bring you into a wonderful new life of hope, healing, and provision. But what did I just say? And God's truth and the revelation that comes from it. And God's truth and the revelation that comes from it. We just talked about this during, before we went into to announcements, and I was just edifying and talking to you. Revelation. How do you get revelation knowledge? From getting in the Word. But what did I say? Revelation knowledge never comes to the casual. You got to diligently seek Him. Thank you, Richard. And so, and God's truth and the revelation that comes from that truth will bring you into to a new life of hope, healing, and provision. Page one, number one of your insert. Let's get right into it. If you search the Scriptures, then you will discover that God's desire has always been to bless His people. He's a loving Heavenly Father, and He has entrusted His divine authority to His sons and His daughters. And this is a central part of our mandate and our commission, and I believe that we will be judged accordingly. From the Garden of Eden in Genesis 1:26 and 28, where God made man in His image and His likeness, to Revelation chapter 1, verse 6, where he calls us kings and priests, we see the incredible authority that God gave to us as believers. In Revelation 5:10, we are told that we shall reign on the earth. What are we supposed to do?
Reign.
What does reign mean? Have authority, reign, rule. This is repeated from Adam to Abraham, from Joshua to Jesus. And when Jesus told Peter in Matthew 16:19 that He was giving him the keys of the kingdom of heaven, He was saying, in effect, I'm giving you authority to operate on the earth like we operate in heaven. And even Job was taught by God to discard his faulty thinking and receive a miraculous breakthrough of healing and abundance. But how did that come? Through revelation. And how did that revelation come? What did Job start doing? Spending time with God, listening to God. Because before he actually started talking and listening to God, Job's revelation was, must be God's will. But once you start listening to God and you get that revelation of who God is, then Job learned, no, that is not God's will. And God's will is for me to prosper and be in health. And he had a miraculous breakthrough and given twice as much as he ever had before. Number two in your insert. So why are so many believers ignorant of their authority? Well, I'm sure there are many reasons. First, according to 2 Corinthians 4:4, Satan is intent on blinding people's minds. If he's unable to keep someone from being saved, then he's at least going to try to keep them from being victorious and fruitful. And the devil knows that that believers who understand their authority in Christ will pose a major threat to his kingdom. People who have also been blinded and lied to by religion and by erroneous teachings. That they have been indoctrinated with this hopeless mindset that everything they encounter in life is God's will for them. That's hogwash. To them, resistance is futile. And it's no wonder that this fatalistic outlook is appealing. Well, why would that be appealing? Because if everything that happens to us is God's will, then I have no responsibility for the outcome. It's convenient to blame God rather than acknowledge that many things in life are a direct result of my faith or unbelief, my obedience or disobedience, or whether or not we have used our authority as a believer. Number three, you've probably heard this common statement that is widely believed and is totally false. What you don't know won't hurt you. Well, over the decades of teaching God's Word, I have seen over and over again how tragic and misguided that is. Page 2, number 1. Every day, countless people are deeply hurt by what they simply do not know. And this saddens, I believe, the heart of the Father, for He wants His people to prosper and to be in health and to live in victory in every area of life. In 2 Peter 1, 3, we're told that His divine power has given to us what?
All things
what? That pertain to life and godliness. Well, what else do you need besides life and godliness? Nothing. All things, there's all things. His divine power. So how does He give us all things? Through what? His divine power. So His divine power has given us all things that what? Pertain to life and godliness. But how does He do that? Through the knowledge of Him who called us to glory and virtue. How does His divine power get intersected into our life to give us all things? Through what? Through the knowledge of Him. What have we been talking about all morning? Revelation knowledge. How do you get revelation knowledge? You get knowledge of Him. How do you get knowledge of Him? By studying and knowing the Word of God. To know what He says. Remember the song? You know, I believe. Well, good. Well, you really can't believe what you don't know. So His divine power has given us what? All things that what? Pertain to life and godliness. How does He do that? Through the knowledge of Him. So that power is there. God's power is always there. All things are always there. So if His power is there and all things are always there, what's the last part of that? Through the knowledge of Him. So whose responsibility is it to get into that power and activate all things? Ours, through the knowledge of Him who has called us to glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises. Now that's a powerful statement. God has given us exceeding great and precious promises in His Word, and these promises are backed up by His divine power. But if you don't know the promises, they do you no good. We don't have to live as losers or victims, because He has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Absolutely nothing is excluded from all things. God has given us the right to take authority over anything the enemy sends our way. And this passage also says that God's amazing promises must be activated in our lives through the knowledge of Him. So the more you get to know your Heavenly Father, the more you will be filled with faith and boldness to walk in His authority. Incredible blessings are available to those who understand how to exercise the authority they have through their union with Christ. Poverty and sickness flee. Satan's strongholds of despair and hopelessness are cast down, and broken relationships are restored. All because we finally grasp the authority of the believer. Giving authority to mankind, that's not some new idea. Brother, it was God's original intent for man and woman to be His crown of glory and to exercise authority and dominion over His creation. From the beginning of creation, God delegated His authority to mankind. He had a right to hold on to it if he wanted to, but he chose to give it to Adam and Eve. Genesis 1, 26 and 28, 26 through 28 says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over everything that creeps upon the earth.' So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them." And then God what?
Blessed.
He what?
Blessed.
One more time. He what?
Blessed.
He blessed them. And he said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." So after creating us in his image and likeness, an exact duplication of his kind, God gave us dominion over the earth and everything in it. And he told us to be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, subdue it. The psalmist describes our original mandate this way in Psalms 115, verse 16. "The heavens belong to the Lord, but he has given the earth to all humanity. However, the authority given to mankind was delegated authority. And the only reason Adam and Eve could exercise dominion over the earth was because they were under God's authority. And as long as they submitted to him, they could reign and they could rule over creation." Dominion is a very significant word. The dictionary defines it this way: having the power to reign, to rule, to control, govern, subjugate, and dominate. It means having sovereign authority similar to what a king exercises over his kingdom. Number two, on whatever page I'm on. The clear message is this. According to Romans 5:17, God wants us to reign in life. But how does he want us to reign in life? Through our union with Christ. And this means having dominion and victory over every area of life. But again, he wants us to have that victory. How? Through union with him. Through what? Through a union with him. What did we read just a minute ago that has to happen? Through the knowledge of him. Remember, he's given us divine, he's given us great and precious promises. How did he give us that? Through his power. All things. How? Through the knowledge of him. It all comes down to how much you know, how much revelation knowledge you know. And you know, some of you think, "Man, you know, I'm just not at your level, Pastor." Well, you know, there's guys that I say that about. I mean, I listen to them talk, I watch them, and it's like, I know nothing. You know, it's like, oh my goodness. You know, it's just, they are so far ahead of me. But we're all at our own place on our own journey. And God honors us where we are. I mean, to me, what is a huge miracle wouldn't even begin to scratch the surface of what so-and-so needs. But we're all human, we're all different, we're all in our own place on our own journey. The thing we have to do is continue to get knowledge of him, get more revelation of him, increase in that so that we can increase in faith, increase in power, and move forward. But when you sit stagnant, you don't come to church, you don't study the word, you don't even watch services, you don't do this, you don't do that, you want to blame God, you say, "Why did God, why did you allow this to happen to me?" God didn't allow nothing to happen to you. Adam sinned, and when Adam sinned, Satan came in, took the authority that God had given to Adam, and Adam co-signed it, gave it back over, and subrogated it to the devil. The devil took it. Now the Bible says that Satan is the god of this world, a world system. The earth was cursed at that point. God didn't do that. Man did that. And so why did God allow this? That you got a problem? Go talk to Adam. But then go talk to Jesus, because he redeemed us from it all.
Amen.
But if you don't know that, because you've never studied his word, you don't know what the promises are, and you don't know what your authority is in him, you are just fine for the picking. And Satan will destroy you. This life of victory is available to every child of God, but it is not automatic. Many people have been born again with every right to live the abundant life. Yet their blessings have been forfeited and sabotaged by ignorance and unbelief. God says, y'all know this scripture very, very well. Hosea 4:6, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge." So what if your child is tormented by a demon, but you insist that you don't believe in that deliverance stuff? So instead of casting the demon out and getting the child healed, you in taking authority over the demon, you end up just medicating that child to the point where they can hardly function. That's better than you know. Well, what if you are constantly battling illness of one kind or another due to a spirit of infirmity? Now, you understand there is sicknesses like germs, but then there are spirits of infirmity. And so what if you're dealing with something that's a spirit of infirmity? Well, in Christ, you have authority over sickness, but will you rise to the occasion and exercise your authority as a believer? You don't have to let the devil stomp all over you. When Satan tries to bring something into your family and take away your health or steal your finances or your peace, you can take dominion over that situation. Instead of passively accepting the devil's attack, you can tell him, no, Bubba, you are an outlaw. You do not belong here. You got to get out of here. You have no right. You have no authority in my home, my children, my bank account, or my health. In the name of Jesus, I have authority over you, and you must leave in his name. And then what if you're battling a spirit such as fear or lust or anger or depression? Well, instead of just tolerating the situation and resigning yourself, convincing yourself that I just got to live with it. Don't you want to have somebody go to some place where someone has faith in that area and can get you delivered by casting that thing out? The bottom line is this. Those who don't understand their authority as a believer are too often destroyed for a lack of knowledge. But this doesn't have to be the case with you or with me or with any Christian. God has sent this sermon series your way for a reason. And if you will grasp your incredible authority in Christ, a tidal wave of blessing will be imparted to you. And as a bonus, then God will help you transform the lives of your friends and loved ones by faith for your behalf. No matter what kind of life you've been living, I don't give a rip what you've been doing. To this point, I don't care. Today can be a new day for you. A turnaround day. A day of fabulous new blessings. Instead of being intimidated by the problems and the obstacles you face, you can see them as wonderful opportunities to use mountain-moving faith. Jesus said in Matthew 17:20, that when you understand your authority, you will say to this mountain, this problem, this circumstance, this situation, get the hell out of my way. Amen. Move from here to there. Because the only thing that's got it in your way is the devil. Amen. So you send him back to hell where he belongs. You take authority over that problem in Jesus' name. You tell it to move from here and to there, and nothing will be impossible for you. Amen. But you got to have some boldness about you. You got to have some guts about you. You got to have something inside of you. And the only thing that's inside of you that's like that is the Holy Spirit of God. Take a minute and read Jesus' statement again. Nothing will be impossible to you. Let it sink inside of you. No matter how fierce a storm you are going through, Jesus says nothing will be impossible for you. Amen. And if you're truly a believer today, you can be confident of what Mark told us about life, which was this. He said in Mark 9:23, all things are possible to them who believe. So what gives God the confidence to say he will do all things? What gives God the confidence? I'll cover it in a minute. Just kind of keep that in the back of your head. Why would God say all these all things? Because as we go through this sermon series, you know, I'm praying that your faith will be stirred and rise up to seize the authority that you have been given as God's sons and daughters. And may you see in Romans 8:31 that because God is for you, that no problem can stand against you. And may you recognize that according to Joshua 1:3, wherever your foot shall tread, that has God given you. And instead of fearing the enemy's attack, may you take Ephesians 6:17 and go on the offensive by taking up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It's time for a new generation of believers to arise. And throughout the earth, men and women of God must understand their authority in Christ and start using that authority in their daily lives. And this is why we're doing this series. So you need to fasten your seatbelts and get ready for an exciting, life-changing journey of faith. And that was my introduction to this sermon series. So now, let me ask you a question. What is the purpose of our authority? We see from Genesis 1:26-28, which we already read, that God instituted authority as a critical ingredient in our calling as men and women. And just as he created us in his image and in his likeness, he also told us to subdue the earth and take dominion over it. Page 3, number 1. Understanding and operating in our authority as believers is not just an option from God. It is a mandate from God. There is no way to fully, completely understand. There's no way to fully complete the commission from the Lord unless we are operating in His authority. So I'm sure he's grieved when you got Christians out there that you know, poo-poo His authority and you know, I don't really need that. I love the words of David in Psalms 24:1. But in this passage, because some people have just, but they'll misunderstood this passage. It says, the earth is the Lord's in all its fullness, and the world and all those who dwell therein. The earth is the Lord's in all its fullness. And I didn't even realize this until I started studying this, but there is this misconception out there that we as children of God are not owners of anything, but just stewards of His creation. Well, of course we are stewards because the earth is the Lord's, right? But we are owners too. As Paul explains in 1 Corinthians 3:21-23, everything belongs to you. Whether Paul or Paulus or Peter or the world or life or death or the present or the future, everything belongs to you. And you belong to Christ and Christ belongs to God. Now, this is great news. I need you to look at the progression of this. The earth is the Lord's, so everything belongs to Him. Right? We can all agree with that. But since we belong to Him, then everything belongs to us. See, this is all part of the blood covenant of Christ. When we acknowledge that everything we have belongs to Him, then the Bible teaches that everything He has belongs to us, and that's a pretty amazing exchange. So, I don't really have time to teach on covenant today, but I do need to give a brief definition for those of you that aren't familiar with the concept. A covenant is basically a contract between two people or two individuals, two institutions, whatever. And a covenant basically says that whatever I have, if we go into covenant, I'll give y'all know this story, but I'll give you this story very quickly about, most people have heard of Stanley and Livingston. They were explorers, English explorers way, way back when. And so, Mr. Stanley was in Africa, and he was in a really bad shape, and he was having all kinds of problems. He had ulcers in his stomach. The only thing he could really use for food was goat's milk. They ran across this tribe in Africa, the most powerful tribe in Africa. First, they were going to kill him. Then they started negotiating, and then Stanley Livingston started ministering to them, and once he started ministering to them, they started getting saved, and once they got saved, they decided to cut covenant. And the way you cut covenant is two people come into agreement. And so the chief had his person that represented him. Stanley had this African interpreter that filled in for him. They went, they cut their wrists. They let the blood of each other draw into the wine. They stir it and they each drank of it. Now they are blood brothers. They are in covenant. And so the interpreter's having to explain to Stanley, because he's from England, he's really not familiar with this thing called covenant. So he's having to explain to him, now everything belongs to the tribe belongs to you, but everything you have belongs to the tribe. And so the guy says to Stanley, we need to give the chief whatever he wants. And so the interpreter said, what would you like? He said, I want your milk goat. Now that's the only nourishment that Stanley's got. And Stanley's freaking out. But, you know, it's either that or death. So he gives up the milk goat. And then at that point, the chief gives Stanley a spear. Now, what you need to understand is that tribe had many, many, many milk goats. But the chief knew that milk goat was the most valuable thing Stanley owned. But now, so he gives him the milk goat. But now, it's no big deal. Because Stanley owns all of the hundreds of milk goats that the tribe owns. Why? They're in covenant. So everything that belongs to the tribe belongs to Stanley. Everything that belongs to Stanley belongs to the tribe. So he has all the milk goats he wants simply because he cut covenant. Now, what was the spear all about? As he went through Africa, this was the most powerful tribe in Africa. And everywhere he went in Africa, they feared this tribe. And this spear represented this tribe. It had their markings on it. So when he would go into another tribe and put down the spear, the other tribes recognized that spear as belonging to this group. And because it belonged to this group and it was the most powerful group in everything, they would cut covenant with Stanley as well, because they knew if they hurt or came against Stanley, that tribe would come and kill all of them. Okay, so bottom line is, here's what Jesus did. He cut covenant. He died on the cross and shed his blood. And so we are now, if we accept him as Lord and Savior, he exchanged his life for ours, and we exchange our life for his. So what does that say in the offering? What's the only thing we really have? Praise, worship? I mean, that's all we've got is us to give to God. But what's God got to give to us? The universe. Everything. Because what did we just read? It all belongs to him. But I am in covenant with him. So if it all belongs to him, who else does it all belong to? Me. Yeah, it all belongs to me. So you got to understand this thing about, well, you know, I'm a self-made man. Well, good for you. I'm a God-made man. And I have resources to things you have no clue of. And so let's talk about that for a minute. Founder of Apple, what was his name? Steve Jobs. Okay. Steve Jobs got sick. You know, he was a self-made man. He was worth billions of dollars. But he had no covenant with God. So he had no right to go to God and ask for healing and receive his healing. So let me ask you this. Do you think he would have given up his billions to get healed? But you got to give up your life to get the life of Christ. And so God would never ask him to give up his billions. He'd ask him to use his billions for things that would help people. But the point is, I don't want to be a self-made man. I want to be a God-made man, because then I have access to all things. Say all things. And what's excluded from all things? Nothing. Everything in all things is all things. And that's what we have. So though God gave mankind authority over his creation, he also put in place those some natural laws to govern how we must operate in order to be successful. And so one of those principles that God put in place, one of the most powerful principles that God uses for everything he does, is seed time and harvest. And he said in Genesis 8:22 that seed time and harvest would never end as long as the earth remains. Is the earth remaining?
Yes.
Then seed time and harvest is still God's system. So just as God ordained that we should exercise dominion over his creation, he also declared that our needs would be met as we sow and harvest seeds. Genesis 1, 11 and 12 and then 29. And then God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seeds in them according to their various kinds, and it was so. And then the land produced vegetation, plants bearing seeds according to its kind, and trees bearing fruit with seeds in it according to its kind, and God saw that it was good. Skip down to verse 29. And then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be your food. So by establishing seed time and harvest, God gave mankind everything necessary to live abundantly and reign over the earth. Whenever we have a need, we can plant a seed and a harvest will come. All right. So let's put this in practical in today's terms. From a spiritual standpoint, when Adam sinned, see, man was God's glorious creation. And when Adam sinned, God lost his glorious creation. We were separated from God spiritually. Boom. So God put something in place, because immediately he said, you will strike at his heel, but he will crush your head. Talking about Jesus. Thousands of years in the future. And so seed time and harvest is God's system for everything. So God had a need. What need did God have? God's need was to get his creation back. How did he get the creation back? He He sowed a seed. What seed did he plant? Jesus. So, and then because Jesus lived a perfect life, died a perfect death, suffered for our sins, now we're able to accept him. So out of that one seed, he has received many millions and millions and millions of people back. Seed time, he planted Jesus as the seed, and we are the harvest. This is God's system for everything. You have a problem in life, no matter what it is. You know, we use this for the offering, but it doesn't matter. No matter, God had a need, humanity. He planted a seed. You have a problem in life, you need to go to God and say, what seed do I need to plant to reap the harvest I need to get over this thing? And he will tell you what to plant. More time with him. Time in prayer. Time in the Word. Revelation knowledge. Could be money. Could be time. Could be just sowing into people's lives. That's not our choice. That's his. But if you have no relationship with him, you have no way to get to him to say, okay, I know this is your system. I know seed time and harvest is how you do things. What do I need to plant to fix this problem? Because I need my harvest. By establishing seed time and harvest, he set a way for us to get over every problem. But be clear on this. God is a good God. He wants the best for his children, and his original creation had no sickness, no poverty, no strife, and no death. In fact, here's how creation is summed up in Genesis 1:31. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. Now in Genesis 2:15, Adam was given a specific assignment. And then the Lord God took man, put him in the Garden of Eden, and told him to keep it. Now sometimes I think we think this is, you know, like a garden in our backyard. The Garden of Eden was huge and continually expanding. The Garden of Eden was unbelievably big. And so Adam wasn't created to be some glorified weed puller. You understand? There were no weeds until he sinned. And how was he supposed to tend the garden? Because this thing is massive. Words. Just the way God created everything was with words. Adam was to create and dominate everything with his words. So Adam wasn't created to be some glorified weed puller. So instead, Adam and Eve were given ownership and dominion over the garden. They were put in charge. And then when Satan took the form of a serpent to deceive Eve, Adam had every right to confront him and throw him out of that garden. If Adam had been alert and willing to exercise his authority, he easily could have stopped the work of the enemy. But he advocated his authority, and the devil came in and deceived his wife. And death was not God's idea, although God had given Adam a warning in Genesis 2:17. He said, now the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. And although Adam didn't die physically that day, he did die spiritually, because we know Adam lived to be 930 years old. But he did die spiritually that day. Page 4, number 1. So how tragic that Adam and Eve squandered their God-given authority. The Lord had great plans for them, but they forfeited it when they believed the devil instead of their Creator. After living in amazing abundance and even being entrusted with the authority to name all of the animals that God created, Adam sunk so low that according to Genesis 3:17 through 19, he ended up in his life cultivating cursed ground full of thorns and thistles by the sweat of his brow. That was never God's intent. Number 2, as I was preparing this message, I was thinking about how Christ has given our authority back, and I was just troubled by the contrast between God's great power and the apparent powerlessness of many professing Christians. And he helped me understand this by pointing me back to John chapter 15, which I was very familiar with because we used John chapter 15 in last week's message. And I'm going to read it again. Because in this passage, Jesus, he begins with a reminder of how fruitful our lives can be when we abide in a vital union with him, and how barren we'll be without his relationship. So John 15, 1 through 5. He says, I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit. and he prunes and he prunes and the branches that do bear fruit so that they produce even more. And you've already been pruned and purified by the message I've given you. Remain in me and I'll remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. What is fruitful?
Produce
what? Put, remember, we interpret the word with the word, right? What have we been talking about? What are we supposed to produce?
It's the fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah. But what did he tell us is ours?
Save.
All things. We read that in two different verses. What are we supposed to produce? All things that pertain unto life and godliness. All things. Say all things.
All things.
What are we supposed to produce?
All things
that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him.
Amen.
Remain in me and I'll remain in you. For a branch, for a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. It means all of the all things are gone. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So, put it all in perspective now. We know that through His power, He has given us all things. All things that what? Pertain to life and godliness. We also know that He said we could pray and ask for anything and it would be given us. But what's it all tied to? Through the knowledge of Him. How can He trust us with that? He tells us right here. Because if I'm connected to the branch, I am living. And He could trust me. Now, will I still make mistakes and sin and do stupid things? Yes. But He can trust me with His power and His authority. And as I gain revelation knowledge, more power and authority. And as I gain revelation knowledge, how? Through understanding, through learning. And then I have more power. And all things that are within my ability to grasp, based on the revelation knowledge I have access to. Now, again, you may have, you know, some big-time minister that what they can grasp in all things is way out here. And my all things is right here. I need you to understand this. It's all based on our knowledge of Him, our revelation knowledge. The all things that are available to us, the precious promises, that you can have everything you want in prayer. That doesn't mean you praying stupid things, because if you're connected to the vine, then your inspiration is coming from the Spirit, and you're going to pray stupid things. And if you do, God will forgive you, and you just move on. My point is, we're all at a different place. He's at a different place, she's at a different place, he's 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 at a different place, she's at a different place. We're all at different places. So my all things expands as I gain more revelation of who He is and who I am in Him. So your all things may be this big. My all things may be this big. And somebody else's all things may be this big. It's all based on the knowledge of Him that we have been willing to sacrifice to gain so that we can get revelation of who He is. Because remember, revelation knowledge never comes to the curious. It comes to those that diligently seek Him. Am I making sense to anybody? There is so much authority available to you. And so just living in my all things is like, man, there's a lot here. But I laugh at my own self because I'm thinking, honey, your all things is about this big. And the all things that are available is infinite. But what are we willing to do to walk in that kind of authority is through the knowledge of Him. Well, you know, I don't understand the Bible when I read it. Get a translation you can understand. Well, I still don't understand. You read it enough, the Holy Spirit will start telling you what it means. You know, they're all excuses. Well, you know, I work too much. Well, I don't know about you. I got really two full-time jobs and a couple of part-time jobs. I got lots to do. But it has to come first. The knowledge of Him. The understanding of Him. You want it, it's out there. But how do I get that? What is God's system for everything? This is revelation knowledge, so let's talk about it. What's God's system for everything? Now you have revelation of this. What's God's system for everything? Seed, time, and harvest. I want that. How do I get there? I plant. Well, what do you have to plant? Time, diligence, work. Because until I plant the things I need to plant to get the revelation I need to get there, I'll never get there. So I've got to sow some seed. But I'm telling you, once I sow that seed and I get that thing in my spirit that says, okay, that thing is coming. Because Richard, what have you heard me say so many times? I live from amen to
there it is.
You're not Richard, but you'll do. To there it is. And so you got to get to a place where you understand when you say amen, that's when the seed time starts. And you've been sowing up to that point, but you never really asked for it because you hadn't prayed about it. And once you start praying about it and you get it inside of you that, yeah, I want that, but it's out there. But I want that, whatever that is. Then I know I have to understand more of God's word to get that. I got to sow seed. But I'm telling you, my harvest is coming.
Amen.
Now, it's so important that we grasp this two-sided coin. Because listen to this. While we are told in Philippians 4:13 that we can do what? All things through Christ who gives us what? Strength. John reminds us in this passage that apart from Christ we can do nothing.
Amen.
All things are nothing. The choice is yours. Now, let's continue in John 15. Let's just move down to verses 7 and 8 now. To give us... So remember, he just finished talking about, I'm the vine, you're the branches, stay connected to me, and you can... Okay, all that, right? So he just finished talking about that, and he says this. But if you remain in me, and my words remain in you... Oh, wait a minute. Okay, so again, he's talking about the vine here, right? If you remain in me. In this context, he's talking about the vine. If you remain as a branch of his... If you remain plugged into the vine, if you remain in me, and what?
My words
remain in you. Well, how can you put his words in you if you don't study and learn? I'm talking about how to get every prayer answered here. We have authority. If you remain in me, you don't wander off here, wander off there, go to church once a month, you know, only come to me when the crisis happens. There's relationship. If you remain in me, and, say
and,
my words remain in you. So you got to remain in him, and you got to study his word to get his words inside of you. Then you may ask for anything you want, and it'll be granted. When you produce much fruit, all things... When you're living a life of victory and success, and I'm not talking about money, I mean, that's part of it, but I'm talking about life, getting people saved, getting people healed, showing prosperity in your life, walking in health in your life, showing peace in your life, showing joy in your life, showing the wisdom of God in your life. When you're walking in all things, put the verse back up there. When you're walking in all things, when you produce much fruit, you are my true disciple. This brings great glory to my Father. You want to know how to bring glory to the Father? Walk in the authority He's given you. What an amazing authority this is. If we are abiding in Christ and allowing His Word to abide in us, whatever we ask in prayer will come to pass. And after this promise becomes a reality for us, We will be able to speak to any obstacle or any weapon that is formed against us, and it will obey us. And I don't know what you're dealing with today, but I'm sure, like everybody else in the room and everybody else on the planet, there is some area of your life where you need to exercise your authority as a believer right now. And perhaps you're dealing with sickness in your own body or in a loved one's. Or maybe the enemy is attacking your finances and the bill collectors are just harassing you every day. Or it could be that your home has been shaken by bad relationships. Whatever situation you may be dealing with today, it is time to believe God's promises and exercise the authority you have in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And that's where I got to stop today.
Amen.
It is yours. Say, it's mine.
It's mine.
God's authority is yours. It belongs to you. Through the knowledge of Him.
Amen.
Revelation knowledge. All things. I don't know if it's in the room or watching, but somebody's having a problem with their right arm, their right wrist, their right hand. Is that anybody in here? Stand up. Stand up. Did you stand up? Okay, this is revelation knowledge. How did I know that? Because my right arm just started hurting down to my wrist. Now, you have a choice to make. Lucky guess, Pastor. If that's your attitude, go for it. I don't walk in this gift very often. I don't walk in this particular gift very often. So you got a choice to make. Am I going to receive what the man of God just said? Or am I going to reject it? There's somebody else in there. There's something I'm not going to say sinuses because we all deal with that, but it's like there's something in your head here that's bothering you. We have any left hips? See, this is when God shows up to show off, to prove to the unbeliever who He is. So you got a choice. Do you receive what God is offering right now, or do you reject it? And some of you, it's like, oh, I don't know, we'll see what happens. You'll get nothing. And some of you are like, God told him, and this is my day. So you receive in Jesus' name. You receive in Jesus' name. Don't put up with it. Receive in Jesus' name. Receive in Jesus' name. receive in Jesus' name. Now, as I said, that is just not a gift I normally walk in. So I would encourage you, when I say receive, what do I mean? I mean receive. Like somebody just came and gave you a gift. You can unwrap it and receive your healing, or you can just say, oh, that was nice, and just keep it wrapped up and it'll do you no good. If you're here this morning, every head bowed and every eye closed, there is an authority. I'm sorry, gosh. I just see so much going on. There is an authority. And it belongs to us. And what a waste that we let it go to waste. But the only way to walk in this authority is to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, or you need to just get right with Him, today is the day. And this series, we're going to go on for a while because I'm going to drill this into your spirit. Watching, listening to me, you have the same anointing there. If any of those things I called out is yours, you receive it in Jesus' name. But if you don't know Jesus, or you need to rededicate your life to Him, here or out there, if you're in this room, just lift a hand. Let me see that. If you're watching or listening, I see the hands. That's fine. If you're watching or listening, just acknowledge before God. Let's all say this prayer together. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for trusting me with your authority, with your name. But I understand the only way I have access to that is through the blood of Jesus. And the only way I have access to that is to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. So, Father, today I accept what Jesus did for me on Calvary. And Jesus, I say thank you for what you did. I receive it. I will walk in it. I will represent you in an appropriate way. Thank you. I receive what you did for me. Amen. Well, you glad you came today? I am. Believer's authority. Father, I do thank you for the opportunity that we have had to get into the Word of God and to just crack the surface and see a little bit of what is available to us. I thank you for that. I thank you for the privilege that we have of having the name of Jesus at our disposal. I thank you that you trust us with all things, as we walk in and live out the life that you have for us to live. I ask that you put a desire within us to study, to learn, to grow. And I thank you, Father, for it. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. Angels of God, I dispatch you into this next week to prepare our way, to go forth into the week, keep us safe and protected, away from things we shouldn't be close to. Thank you, Father, for blessing us. And I thank you, Lord God, for these people. Be blessed, child of God. Have a great, wonderful, anointed, prosperous week, but with the authority of God. And everybody said, amen. Amen. And you are dismissed.